Let's hear from God's word in Scripture from Psalm 130. From the depths of despair, O Lord, I call for your help. Hear my cry, O Lord, pay attention to my prayer. Lord, if you kept a record of sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness, that we might learn to fear you. I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. I long for the Lord more than centuries long for the dawn. Yes, more than centuries long for the dawn. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love. His redemption overflows. He himself will redeem Israel from every kind of sin. We thank God for his word to us today. It is great to have everybody today. At the moment in our church family, we've been exploring a theme of being hungry for God. And each week we've been giving out a handout. The idea behind this is it's for you to use in your own time. So I'm asking you if you will take some time to use this during the week and also to use in talking with other people. If you're in a house group, to use it in house group. So each week, I'm giving you a suggested number of exercises to try that are actually going to help us all to wait on God. So we started off by talking about finding rest in God. And then last week we looked at the theme of longing for God, and this week we're moving on to the theme of waiting for God. We don't find it easy to wait. I was really interested at the reaction when it came up on the screen, Windows is configuring updates. You know that experience. Isn't that one of the most annoying things in the whole world? You switch on your computer, and when it comes up 1%... We had a service many months ago now where we switched on the computer at 10:15 and at 10:45 the service was due to start and it was still configuring those wretched updates. Happily at 10:47 it decided to let us start the service. But that sense of being held on is one that we know about. I mean, the other one on that video clip was, your call is important to us. I mean, is there any phrase in the English language more annoying than your call is important to us? I know, because I had to, there was one particular helpline, and it may not be the worst, but the student loans helpline. Anybody ever tried to ring the student loans helpline? That line is something else. You've tried it. It's not good, is it? You get this automated machine, you know, it says, it takes several attempts for them to work out who your name is and your number. And they then say to you, well, they ask you for like a significant place and a significant person. So it comes out, what is the second letter of your significant place? T. Did you say B? No. Oh, I'm sorry. What is the second letter of your significant place? T. Did you say B? No! I'm sorry. What is the second letter of your significant place? Right. B! And Ruth's shouting up. Why are you shouting, James? B! Did you say B? Yes, I said B! This is so good. What is the third letter of your significant place? And you go through this, and then they put you on hold for a load of times. And you just know that when eventually you get through to a human, she or he is going to say to you, what is the second letter of your... You can tell I'm speaking from pain here, but we know what it is. And the reality is, I know that some of us today know that experience in places that are far more serious than sorting out a student loan. There's a film out at the moment, I, Daniel Blake. I haven't yet seen it, but I'm definitely going to see it. Has anybody seen I, Daniel Blake? None of us. Okay. So it's the new Ken Loach film, and it is the story of a man, and it's a story that many of us will know. He gets his benefits stopped because they do some ridiculous tests on him, and his benefit is stopped. And it's also the story of a single mom who gets relocated to another area. She tries to get the bus to go to a benefits appointment because she's new to the area. She takes the wrong bus or something like that, ends up being a few minutes late, and she gets sanctioned. And, you know, the reviewers of this film are saying this is so realistic. CAP, the Christians Against Poverty, which is a fantastic Christian resource to help people who are in debt, the chap who is like their chief person, he emailed all of his offices saying, have you got stories from your local branches that are like Daniel Blake? And the answer came back, yes. And he sent out this email saying, here is a list of stories that we personally have come across of people who are just not being listened to, people who it seems that, you know, the benefit system is being used as a weapon against them. Now, I know that many people who work in the benefit system honestly want it to be the best they possibly can be, but certainly, you know, there was an article in The Guardian this week saying, you know, anybody who thinks that this film is inaccurate has never worked in housing or visited a food bank. We live in an age where we are not used to being treated as human beings. We are held on and told to wait. I could think of somebody here who was due a benefit uprise but had to wait months to get it, even though it was due, because it was taking forever to process through the system. Waiting is not funny. And we live in an age where we can feel, I'm not being treated as a human being. So we come this morning to this idea of waiting upon God. And as we come to wait upon God, it's really important for us to realize that the one that we are waiting for is a Father in heaven who really does love us. And I know that for some of us, even me saying that is saying something to you that takes months, years to work through. When you're not used to being loved in that sort of way, it can be tough to actually accept that the God who is making us wait actually does love us. Now, I did this thing this morning about trying to get the kids to imitate a crying baby. Let me tell you one of the saddest stories that I think I've ever heard. It was at the time when Ceausescu fell in Romania. For those of you who don't know the history, he was a very nasty dictator. And in Romania, there were lots of orphanages where basically the children were not being cared for. And when the Ceausescu government fell, a lot of people were going into these orphanages and just trying to do something for the kids. And somebody came back from this orphanage and said, do you want to know what the scariest thing about that orphanage is? The children didn't cry. Because they learned that there was no point in crying because nobody was going to come and help them. When a baby cries, that baby might be annoyed, might be a bit angry, but is actually expressing confidence that somebody is going to come. The Bible tells us that Jesus, in his time on earth, spoke to God with loud cries and with tears. When we talk about waiting for God, waiting in Bible speak is an impatient word. It's a word of people who believe that God can and will do something different, and they're crying out to him, believing that their cries can make a difference. So as today we are talking about waiting on God and the The translation of verse 5 in the New Living Translation says, I'm counting on the Lord, but it is actually, I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting for the Lord more than the centuries long for the dawn. This psalm starts off by saying, from the depths of despair, O Lord, I call for your help. Hear my cry, O Lord. So when we talk about waiting, I'm not asking you, if you want to do this, this is fine, that there is a good way spiritually of doing this. But I'm not asking you to kind of sit down all calm and serene and say, yes, God, I trust you. What I'm encouraging you to do this week is seriously to cry out to God. What I'm asking you to do this week is to express that frustration to God when God is doing things slower than you want him to do. This is different from finding rest in God. Now, somehow the two of them do work together. But the emphasis this week is on us crying out. And people who hope in God will get impatient. If you're not impatient, what have you got faith for? I want to see stuff happening in this community. I'm impatient for it. I'm saying to God, God, come on, let's do this. Let's make stuff happen here. Who can look at what's going on in Cali at the moment and not get frustrated and cry out to God, God, do something. God, how long do we have to wait for you to sort this? Who can look at what's been happening at Mosul? Who can look at what's happening in Italy with the earthquake and sit there serenely and calmly and make out everything is okay? So the idea is that in our hungry for God time this week, that we're actually coming to God and expressing the frustrations that we have towards him. And to say to us, do not get sucked into the idea that God is not listening. The psalmist here is crying out to God from the depths of despair, is how he says it. He prays from this deep, horrible place. And I know from talking to some of us that there are some of us in church, and our recent experience of God is about calling from the depths. At house group on Monday night, a couple of members of the house group came up with something. I'd never thought of it like this before, but I thought this was utterly brilliant. There's that line in Psalm 42 about deep calling to deep. And we were trying to work out what it meant, and I wasn't quite sure. And somebody said, well, maybe what it means is this, that we go into these deep places, these places where we are in the depths, where we feel that things are so difficult and so horrible, and we feel we're being overwhelmed, like the writer of Psalm 42 says. But God is calling us into another deep place. God is calling us into the depths of his love. And there was that verse that I was encouraging you to say sort of many times during last week about by day the Lord directs his love towards me and at night his song is with me. So God calling us out from the depths of this horrible experience, but even in the depths of that horrible experience, we find the deep, deep love of Jesus. And when we are in the depths, we cry out and we shout, help. We cry out to God. Don't be fooled into thinking that this isn't worth doing. God hears us when we call to him. Now, verse 4 says that God offers us forgiveness so that we might learn to fear him. Now, one of the exercises I'm asking you to do this week is that when you call to God about the situation, to see if there's anything that you've done or you're doing that has actually caused it or make it worse. Because there probably will be, not always. Sometimes things just happen and they're not our blame at all. But sometimes they do make things worse. The Bible says here that God forgives us so that we can learn to fear him. Or as another translation puts it, so we can have reverence for him. One of the things that we will learn from learning to call out, through facing up to our need, through facing up to the stuff we've done wrong, is we will learn to fear God properly. Now, I know, again, for many of us, this is difficult to get. Because we don't want a God who is frightening. We don't want a God who is scary. And some of us have perhaps got pictures in our head that we've been taught of a picture of a God who is really scary and is nothing like the God of the Bible. But this is what I want to encourage you with. The fear of the Lord, especially in the book of Psalms, is something that it's really worth getting to know. I want to read out to you some texts. These are all from the Psalms. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. Who are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. Psalm 25, listen to this. The Lord confides in those who fear him. Psalm 31, how abundant are the good things you store up for those who fear you. Psalm 33, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. Psalm 34, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. And I could go on and on with texts from the Psalms. We'll learn to fear God. Whenever I think of what it means to fear God, for some reason I always think of school teachers. And I think of two in particular. One of them was a primary school teacher. If she hears this, forgive me, Mrs. Stanley. But she was a primary school teacher when my children went to school. And she was one of the year six teachers. And every year, the younger children in the school were really scared of Mrs. Stanley. And if you could give them one wish about what would happen when they got into year six, they would say one thing. They would say, don't put me in Mrs. Stanley's class. Every year, a miracle happened. Every year, these children would be put into Mrs. Stanley's class. And you know what? They loved it. She taught well. If you were a child who got bullied, you wanted to be in Mrs. Stanley's class because there was no bullying in Mrs. Stanley's class. They actually found that they quite liked her sense of humor. And if you struggle with this idea of learning to fear God, can I say that God is a bit like Mrs. Stanley? Actually, he is scary. He is frightening. But when you get to know him, he's the best person that you can possibly get to know. And learning to get close to him is one of the best things you can do. So that's why I'm saying this week, you know, bring the things that you're struggling with to God. The places that are wrong in the world, bring them to God. Pray to God about them. Because in doing so, you're drawing close to him. The other teacher that I always think of is Mr. Ritchie. Now, Mr. Ritchie was the deputy head in my secondary school. I'll tell you something about Mr. Ritchie. He was frightening. I mean, you did not want to get on the wrong side of Mr. Ritchie. These were the days when it physically hurt to get on the wrong side of Mr. Ritchie. He was so scary. But do you know something? If you felt there was something that needed to be done, who in the school did you go to? You went to him. That's what you did. And God might be scary. He is frightening. But if we want stuff done, we go to him. We call upon him. God will teach us how to fear him properly. He teaches us to serve him as we fear him. God pardons us so that we can learn to respect him properly and so that we can serve him properly. Verse 6 says, I long for the Lord more than the sentries wait for the dawn, or more than the watchmen wait for the dawn. Modern translation, I long for the Lord more than I long for Windows to stop updating. Okay, you know that feeling? Sorry, for those of you who haven't got computers, sorry, let me just explain this because not everybody laughed. Yeah. Windows is a thing on your computers, and from time to time they decide to update it. And you switch it off and on again, And it decides it wants to change everything on your computer. And it can sometimes take half an hour or longer to do it. And there's a sense of exasperation. There is also a theory, which I believe isn't true, that there's a meter on the computer to make sure it always updates when you are the most stressed. But that may not actually be true. But that sense of, come on, get on with it. And the psalmist is saying, I long for the Lord. I'm waiting for the Lord to do something. It's like being held on that coal line. Your coal is important to us. Well, if it's important, do something. Actually, the worst bit is when at the end they say to you, can I help you with anything else? And the sort of person I am, if I feel that they haven't actually helped me, I always say, but you haven't helped me with anything. I'm sorry about that, sir. Can I help you with anything else? Ah! And actually, you know, I tell these because, you know, we recognize the stories. That's why we laugh at them. But that sense of, in our relationship with God. If that's how you feel about them, express it honestly to him. In the exercises I'm asking you to do this week, don't be ashamed or afraid to tell God exactly what you are feeling. And then verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love. When we looked at Psalm 51 a few weeks ago, I spoke about this fantastic word in the Old Testament that is sometimes translated as love, it's sometimes translated as mercy. And perhaps the best translation of it in today's language is committed love. God has committed love for you. And in the same way that a baby will cry to mum or dad expecting that they will answer, we can cry to God today. He loves us. And over this week, in the staff, I'm going to be suggesting that you do over this week, and we'll do a bit of it now, and then we can do some stuff in house groups and on our own. I want to encourage you that part of being hungry for God is about waiting, but being really honest with God in the wait. So if you've got your sheets with you, you want to look at the back, or if you've got the large print, it's page 3. Now, if you're doing this on your own, you can take your own time. Again, as we've been saying in past weeks, don't think that you've got to do everything in a day. If you're stuck at number 2, you know, sorry, not if you're stuck, but if you only reach number 2 in the time you've got, that's absolutely fine. The important thing is that we're doing something. But what I'm going to do in a few minutes is just take us through all of this, and let's see where we get to. It will help if you have a Bible open at Psalm 130. So there are some Bibles that are around. If you want to take one, please do. Right, so the first thing that I'm asking you to do this week is to decide on a situation that you want to pray about. Now, if there are things in your life that you want to pray about, pray about them, especially if they are things where things are not as good as they should be. But it could be anything. So just take a moment, just as we're trying to do this today, just think of something that you want to pray about to God today. Okay. There's no right or wrong answers in there. Just pick something so that we can try doing this. And then my next suggestion is that you read verses 1 and 2 a few times. So I've got some words on the sheet here. So let's say this together and just let these words speak to us today. Go. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. You know, if you're saying it on your own, try and give it a bit of welly. You know, let's, you know, think of being the baby trying to get mum's attention. You know, out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Let's try saying that together again. Out of the depths, I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. And now, in the next few moments, just talk to God about that situation that you want to pray about. Don't ask for anything yet. Just talk to him about it. and ask God to hear you and to have mercy on you. So we'll take a few moments quiet so that you can do that. Verse 3 and 4, Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness so that we might learn to fear you. If you feel that you've done anything that has created that situation or that has made it worse, ask God to pardon you for that. If there's nothing, that's fine. Don't go dredging. But if there is anything that you feel you've done in that situation, talk to God about that now. Might be that as you're doing that, your conscience gets pricked on one or two things. Just for the moment, just tell the Lord about that. And verse 5 and 6, I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. I long for the Lord more than centuries long for the dawn. Yes, more than centuries long for the dawn. So in the next few moments, tell the Lord that you are waiting for him to act. Feel free to tell him what you want him to do. This is the time to do that. But above all, tell him you want him to do something. You're waiting for him. And if that image of Windows updates or being held on by the call center helps, that's how you're waiting. And on the sheet, there are those words from verse 6. So let's read them together. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Let's say that again. I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. And now it is time for us to be still. So if you're able to, let's be still. If you struggle with the stillness, we learned one or two things looking at Psalm 62 that might help. But let's seek to be still for a few moments. Verses 7 and 8, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is unfailing love and an overflowing supply of salvation. He himself will free Israel from every kind of sin or every kind of trouble. Tell yourself to hope in the Lord. We were practicing self-talk in the exercises last week. Tell yourself to hope in the Lord. Amen. I've tried this a couple of times now, this particular exercise, and I've picked the same thing both times. So if you've picked something and you feel you've started to pray through it, do feel free to come back to that same one as many times as you feel you need to. I've certainly found that doing it the second time was quite different to the first time, and I found myself noticing a few things. The first thing was that God was saying one or two things to me about what he wanted me to do. And the second thing was that in this bit about me telling the Lord I'm waiting for him to act, that actually he was reminding me that there are actually a number of ways in which he already has acted. And actually I was panicking in a sort of not an unnecessary way, but I just wasn't recognizing what God had done. So I kind of encourage you that this is one to work through a few times, and do it in house groups during the week, and we'll see where we go with it.